You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, get the most trusted Browns news straight from the team to your phone, including insider videos, photos, player news about the rookie class offseason, upcoming training camp, and much, much more. Download the official Browns mobile app for Apple and Android now and stay up to date on your team. You get the Browns huddle video that I shoot every single day. You get Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford every single day. So a lot to get there, a lot to take in right in the palm of your hands with, of course, the Cleveland Browns mobile app. Download it in the Apple and Android stores. 216-578-0850. We have got Ellis in Orlando with us. Ellis, how are you?
Gentlemen, how you doing? First of all, happy Father's Day for all those that are celebrating. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Man.
Thanks, Ellis.
And you know, it was funny, guys. Yesterday they showed on NFL Network the replay of the Browns-Indianapolis Colts game.
Uh-huh.
And as I sat there and watched that game, we make one or two plays, it's a different result.
If we got one first down in the second half, it's a different result.
Exactly. And with that being said, that's the difference on being, you know, a championship team or a team that's going home early. As I sat there and watched the game, it actually excited me because I think we totally had a way better season than anyone expected. I'm really excited on what level that the defense can go to next year. And even with the additions of, like, the running back Duke Johnson, I'm just really ready to see if we're ready to step up. Even though I know the Cavs took us on a roller coaster ride, it's still a football city. So I'm just looking forward to seeing if we can take it to the next level. So
you're right, Ellis. Ellis, are you still there? Oh, he's gone. And my big question for him was, again, as a diehard Browns fan, and the point that we consistently want to make that some people nationally and even locally say that this team's not better than last year. And for him to sit there and watch that game, which was last year's team, and then try to say after everything we've done, you know, 12 draft picks, what, six or seven free agents that have come in that fill, you know, very important spots for us, including the quarterback position, that the team that we have now is so much better than the team we had last year.
Yes, that's why you look at ESPN Insider. You don't take our words for it. They said we went from being the 24th best roster in the NFL to now being the 14th best roster in the NFL, and would be even higher if there was a clear quarterback on this team, which there is not right now. So, yeah, I think that there is a lot to be excited about as it relates to this Cleveland Browns football team. So, Ellis, thank you very much for the call. Let's bring in our producer now, Mr. Jason Gibbs, for the OTA offseason minicamp awards.
Number one.
Gentlemen, officially summer vacation. 4 days away from what? Zagura, you start yours, don't you?
I'm going to my pop's wedding. Yeah, that's this weekend.
Big weekend. Where's that at?
It will be out in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Mm-hmm. All right, so this is part one. Part two comes your way in about an hour from now. Part one, question one. The Cleveland Browns are a better team after OTAs and minicamp because?
I will say they're a better team because they have dove into the graduate level portions of their playbook defensively and have now created more opportunities for them to stop the run and also earn that right to rush the passer. But more so than that, I think they know who they are offensively now. John DeFilippo and his mentality and his philosophies has been grasped by Josh McCown and this offense. And we have all the question marks we had about this offense and what it would look like, to me, have all been answered right now.
So I'm most excited because I think the additions to the defensive line have been fantastic. Randy Starks looks good. Xavier Cooper looks good. You got all the guys back. So I'm optimistic that D-line can be a strength. We know how good the secondary is. And then the other reason I'm optimistic is, quite frankly, Josh McCown looks to me like a legitimate starting quarterback in the National Football League and a guy that will be competent and an upgrade over what we have had recently in Cleveland. So I think they're a better team because they're better at quarterback, which is the most important position, and they are going to be significantly better on the defensive line.
Number two.
Gentlemen, I need your most outstanding rookie from minicamp and OTAs.
I'm going to go with an A and a B, and one is going to be offensively and one is going to be defensively.
That is fine.
And my A is going to be Duke Johnson. And I think the fact that he will be an immediate impact for this offense and his role will be specialized to him that not Terrence West or Isaiah Crowell are going to be asked to play. And they're going to force the football to him with exotic looks, motions, and matchups, which I think will help this offense convert first downs. And then, in fact, give us the ability to get down into the red zone, use the big bodies in Rob Housler, Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, and the underneath stuff with Taylor Gabriel and Andrew Hawkins to score touchdowns, not kick field goals. Defensively, my guy is Nate Orchard. And I think because this is a team that got, you know, 10-plus sacks out of Paul Kruger, we struggled opposite him with Cheard, with Mingo, and he brings some stability. And his time at Utah, he was in the time that we've talked to him, he talked about getting to the quarterback. And also, too, not only is he good at getting to the quarterback, what we've seen from him at practice without pads is his ability to set the edge, which this defense definitely needs.
Desperately needs. You're right about that. I believe the offensive outstanding rookie, I'll go with both Johnsons. Malcolm Johnson, the fullback, kind of in that Marcel Reese H-back role. I think that he has an opportunity to be very, very good for this team and create some mismatches. But the one who really stands out is, of course, as you said, Duke Johnson. The jump cuts, the speed, the ability to run routes, his elusiveness out there. It is very, very, very apparent that this is a special guy out of the backfield, runs routes like a wide receiver, will create mismatches for this team defensively. I also agree with you. It is Nate Orchard. We haven't seen enough of Danny Shelton yet.
Nope.
But Nate Orchard physically looks good. It appears that he can set the edge and get to the quarterback. It is going to be key to see him, with the pads on, maintain that level against this excellent offensive line. He's one guy that I really want to see in pads, because if he can be as good in pads as he looks in shorts and shells, then I think the Browns are really going to have a difference maker on the edge for this defense.
Number three.
After OTAs and minicamp, who in your eyes has been the best free agent addition to this football team?
I almost started writing down Randy Starks because of the impact that he will make on the defensive line, but there is no way that I can go with anybody but Josh McCown, because of, up to this point, the stability that he has brought to the most important position on any football roster, which is our quarterback position. And I feel that his leadership, the mental game that he plays on the football field, and his ability to throw the ball accurately to our big and small wide receivers is going to be the key.
So you take McCown, so I'm going to take Starks. That was the other guy I thought. I think that he comes in, veteran, toughness, can play all three downs, can get to the quarterback, will help stop the run. I'll say Randy Starks has been the other veteran who's really stood out and will be the biggest free agent addition to this team.
Number four.
All right, guys, give me a player who opened your eyes at last week's minicamp.
I'm gonna choose two. I just wrote down a second one. Taylor Gabriel has been someone between OTAs and minicamp that has opened everyone's eyes, as a coach has alluded to before, that nobody wants to see him in man-to-man. But the other guy who, as I don't want to say sad as it is, but he's going to play a key factor for this football team and help us win football games, is the addition of Andy Lee via trade. He is going to be a game changer. The template that we have is play great defense, run the football, and play excellent special teams. And we'll figure out Josh McCown and that passing offense later on. But he's going to be a game changer. He'll flip the field for this football team.
Andy Lee is a very good one, and he could have made it for the best free agent addition. Although he was traded for, so he wouldn't count it there. But he, in terms of offseason acquisitions, he could be a big one. That's a very good call there. The two guys who opened my eyes in this past week, Rob Housler, I thought came into his own a little bit, started to become a factor in the red zone. It seemed initially maybe he was just a little stiff for a while, and he's loosened up. He was very good straight line, but that was it. Now he's shown his ability to get open, make some moves. He really stood out to me. And then another one, a guy that I don't know how he's going to find a way to make this team, but he has made plays every single day, as the undrafted free agent safety, Deontay Saunders, number 44. Had a couple of picks of Johnny Manziel, including a pick six during the minicamp. He has been very impressive to me. And again, it just shows how deep this backfield is. You'd also have to give Jordan Poyer a nod, because he stepped in, and you wouldn't know that that secondary was missing a Pro Bowl free safety.
Correct.
Number five.
Final award for this segment, guys. Not necessarily an award, but your reaction. Give me one word to describe the Browns offense after what you've seen in OTAs and minicamp.
After what I have seen, not what I expect, I think this offense is very diverse. And the reason why I say that is because we'll have the frame of mind that we're going to run the football, But I love the five starting wide receivers that we have taken for granted at, you know, at this point right now of who's going to make this team to be able to line up in five wide. I like the ability to line up Taylor Gabriel or Andrew Hawkins in the backfield or Duke Johnson in the backfield with four wide and then motion him out to, you know, into a stack position and run, you know, run a secondary route off of Taylor Gabriel or Andrew Hawkins. That's going to be hard for any two DBs, DB linebacker, safety linebacker to cover in the entire National Football League. So diversity thus far from what I've seen out of minicamp and in the OTAs from our offense.
I'm going to call it in one word, shifty, because what they are going to do, a lot of pre-snap movements, a lot of shifts, and a lot of getting their quote-unquote shifty players in advantageous mismatch situations. That's what this offense is designed to do, give you different looks, confuse you as a defense, as you like to call it, window dressing, Matt Wilhelm. Try to just get guys thinking as opposed to reacting, create mismatches. All of a sudden you have Rob Housler shift all the way out. Joe Hayden stays there so you could get a great matchup for Andrew Hawkins on a safety. Shifting Duke Johnson out at the last second or having him line up wide and then motion him back in the backfield and then running the football with him. I think it is a shifty offense. It's not going to be a vertical dominant passing game, but it is going to be an offense that is going to try to create mismatches and is going to run the football and be smart with the football.
You're right. And to go just a little bit more football talk on what that does to a defense. When a defense is installed, you know, you install it versus the typical formations. The base, 21 personnel, 12. I mean, you know, one back, two tight ends, two backs, one tight end, you know, one back, one tight end, so on and so forth as you evolve into different personnel. And what those shifts and motions do, every install has a set of rules at the bottom, like these specialty rules, like little asterisks. In case they do this, we have to check this. In case they do this, well, all those shifts and motions that we're doing bring those secondary rules into play. And when you're a defense and you're rolling, you see this formation, you kind of get like some defenses, the real good ones, are like second nature. Boom, 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 which I think our defense did very, very well this offseason in their second year. But even still, some you're looking for one hole in the communication, one hole somewhere in the defense that the matchup that you want, that's where you go with the football. So it just forces a defense to get into those rule breakers that I talk about because of where you align certain positions and checks that need to be made after a motion or after a shift.
Who is responsible for those checks? Is that the middle linebacker that's always calling that out? Are there certain checks that are just for the secondary? Are there certain checks that are just for the line? Is there a check at every level?
Not necessarily at the defensive line, unless they change strength. You might shift the front, you know, one way or the other, but that's elementary from a check standpoint, is to have guys go bump from the right side of the center to the left side of center.
The tight end from a three to a five
and a five to a three. That's very, very easy. And in most cases, to answer your question, it is, I think in this defense, Carlos Dansby making those checks, but then there's sub checks between a corner and a safety because they can shift from, say they shift the tight end from one side to the next, so you have to reload the front, and then they motion a guy from one side to the other. You have to check something else, and then there might be like a stack that they end up in a stack, and it might be a little combo talk between a safety in a corner or two safeties together. So it's that series of communication, and all the offense is trying to do is find that matchup and find that little hiccup in communication. They forgot to check this. They forgot to check that. Or you get a dime or nickel player who's only playing 10 to 12 to 15 reps a football game on defense to not be ready to do his job or for that check. You find that void, and that's what's the difference between a 5-yard catch tackle and a 15-yard chunk play.
So why are there teams that don't go through all of that rigmarole? Why are there so many teams that actually don't get into their checks?
Because I think they're so talented, 1 to 11.
They don't care.
That they just say, we're going to create a template, and we're going to set the tone for you. And as I said before, we call it blackboard. Blackboard is when it is the way it looks when you first see it drawn up. That's the kind of the analogy of how it looks on a blackboard. And that's a lot of the reason why, you know, Richard Sherman there in Seattle, they play left and right. I don't care where you put Jordy Nelson, Megatron, sure, or Larry Fitzgerald. I'm going to be over here doing my job.
Sure.
And so that I'm used to playing on my boundary, jamming with my offhand, which is my right hand. You know, it's just, and it's like second, it's like you never have to change. You know, it's like a defensive end who has to play a lineup on, I line up on the, J.J. Watt's going to be on the right side the whole game, okay? And he's going to be the best dang defensive end on the right side that you've ever played, because that's his craft.
Go left.
Go left.
Go left.
Well, left would be actually,
I guess, would
right
be at edge. Right.
Go right.
Go right. Go right to avoid right. It's like higher or lower.
Yes.
It's very confusing.
Higher. I mean lower.
I mean
whatever.
Lower. Whatever yeah. It is. You know it.
Closer to 100.
All right. When we come back, we're going to take some more of your phone calls and tweets. 216-578-0850. And, of course, you can tweet the show at Nathan Zagura, at Browns underscore daily, at Matt Wilhelm 35. Still to come, Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns. He'll be with us. Cam Irving from last week's minicamp will be with us. And we've got offseason awards part two. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.